Hey guys, how does Batman's mom call Batman, tell him it's time for dinner?
How?
Dinner, 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 Batman. Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show of the champions, the local comic book shop. We are broadcasting at comicbookdaily.com. No, we're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU. McMaster Radio, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. Hey, I am Walter Duralia,
and
over the street.
Oh, sorry.
Let me present my credentials, please.
I'm still reeling from that terrible joke at the beginning.
I am an Over Street Price Guide advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your Henny Youngmans.
Trying to get through the bits of the comic book culture universe.
Right on. Hey, Chris.
Take my comics, please.
Take my comics, please. Hey. Welcome. Welcome to another week of comic culture.
Thank you. Yes, welcome to you as Walt. also, to my left, we have producer extraordinaire Shecky Youngman.
Trusty.
Sorry.
Call me whatever you want. It doesn't matter anyway.
Just don't call me late for dinner. This is like nothing but bad joke show, right? This is what it's going to be.
That's what happens when you don't write it down.
Really got to figure out this whole music thing.
Yeah, and you know, we've got to start writing some stuff.
We really do. Yeah.
We need an intro. You know.
We don't need a new intro. We've had the same one for years
we
now.
Have.
We need a new
one. Next week, for sure.
So next week, for sure, we're going to get a new intro, going to get the music going, and we're going to figure out if we're still supposed to be saying Get the Point Radio or not.
Absolutely. All those things will be handled by next week.
Listen,
mark my words.
Listen, wonderful to see you, Walt.
Wonderful.
Unfortunately, I was not here last week. We did not have a show, unfortunately.
No, we didn't. Apparently, Chris, when you're gone, we can't have a show.
Time stops.
Yeah. You are it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's...
But you're here now.
I'm here now. And so here we are to talk about comic books. We are here to support the local comic book industry and, of course, the local comic book stores. And so, you know, let's get right down to it and start talking about comics.
Let's get down on it.
So, as always, we like to talk about new this week. And our producer extraordinaire, do we have any kind of sponsor for this week?
Always, Chris.
Nice.
Sponsoring new this week is whoever can find a better engineer and bring back the music.
Bring back the music!
I can see the music, man.
Yeah, I got the music in me.
Okay, listen. First up on our new this week talk show here, we're going to talk about Moon Knight number 1 by Warren Ellis and Declan Shalvey, and color art by Jordy Belair. This is an interesting book. You know, Moon Knight's character has been around from the 70s.
Yeah.
And, 70s. He was always supposed to be kind of like a, I don't know.
Moon Knight-y.
Well, like a Batman ripoff kind
of
thing, right? Like, you know, he was in the dark and he was, you know, even though his costume was all white,
he
was kind of like the
under the moonlight.
Yeah, right? But, And then it was funny because then in the later on in his series he became Moon Knight Fist of Khonshu, and Khonshu was like the Egyptian god of the moon or something like
mm-hmm.
that, and it became had all these sort of weird amulets and all that kind
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, they sort of
it became New Age.
Yeah, yeah, New Agey, and you know what? They really brought it back to a strict sort of mystery type character, and in fact he's not
back
wearing
to Batman.
He's not even wearing a cape or anything like that. He's wearing a suit now.
Really?
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. He's got like a suit and a hood. It's an interesting thing because he still has like the moon symbol on his forehead. So he just looks like a guy in a suit wearing a
moon symbol on his forehead.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Hey,
looking,
listen,
though, right?
If it works for him.
But it's in an interesting book by Warren Ellis. I think it's going to be a good jump start for the character that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, listen, a lot of local comic book shops went heavy on this book.
Yeah,
so,
as they should. It's Warren Ellis, right?
Moon Knight number 1. At your local comic book shop.
Yeah.
Today.
All right. Next up on the hit parade, we've got DC Comics with Batman Superman Annual number 1. And of course, this is a great looking book. This is by, it's written by Greg Pak with art by Jay Lee. And this whole book is basically about Mongol, which is a longtime Superman foe, enemy type person. And if you like Supergirl, like there's, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but Supergirl and Batgirl are in it, as well as Batman and Superman, and a couple other sort of cameo appearances, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And great looking book. I love Jay Lee's artwork.
Yeah.
He is an amazing artist. Great book. Interesting read. As I said, it's all about Mongol and sort of a little bit of his take on things. Good book.
Excellent. That is the annual to Superman and Batman number one, available at your local comic book shop today. Check that one out.
Yes. All right. And finally, I'm going with, this is interesting. So I'm actually going with Lobster Johnson.
Go with it.
I don't normally do three books. We decided that we weren't going to do three books anymore, but I'm going against the grain.
We decided last week. And
well, you know.
Within the week,
we're changing things out. Yeah. But you know what? Lobster Johnson, he was a supporting character in the Hellboy series.
Yes.
And every once in a while, they give him his own book, and now they have his own book here. This is actually, it's actually Lobster Johnson, Get the Lobster, number two.
Is he like a crustacean cook or something?
You'd think so. He's kind of, I don't even know how to describe the character.
No, who is that? That's Krusty Krab.
Krusty Krab. Yeah. Isn't that a restaurant you used to go to all the time? Down to the old Krusty Krab?
You know what? Yeah, I remember that place.
Well,
yeah.
Did you get crabs when you went down there?
Many times.
Well, you can't. It's hard not to.
But there's a clinic right beside the place.
Yeah, so thank goodness.
They de-crab you?
They de-claw you.
So anyway, Lobster Johnson,
I like that.
Lobster Johnson.
Didn't he play for the Hamilton Tiger Cats? Lobster Jackson.
I think the Penguins played for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Well, he's done a lot of things, hasn't he?
He's
he's ambidextrous.
Well-rounded athlete. Lobster Johnson is kind of like a detective, and he has like the lobster claws, like his like kind of like move type thing. But
a move?
Well, I don't
know. Yeah, he got the claw.
Like some people do the waltz. Yeah. He does the claw. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. But you know what's interesting is the art style itself reminds me of Tim Sale's art, who's been around for a long time. And I don't even know how to say this guy's name. It is it might be one of your countrymen, Tonić? How do you say that?
Zonić.
There you go. See, I knew you could say that.
Zonić. Ah, yes. Obviously, it's quality material.
With such a ridiculous book, I salute you for picking a third book this week, you know?
Hey.
How can you leave that out?
Get the Lobster. Lobster Johnson, part 2 of 5. Today, available at your local comic book shop.
Good job, Chris. Okay.
Hey, listen, of course, Chris just he covered 2 of probably 700.
Or 3.
Or 3? Did you do 3? Sorry. He did 3, apparently. I missed one.
Don't read the script on the times when Chris breaks the script.
There are hundreds more coming.
I'm so glad I left such an indelible impression. On my picks this week.
At your local comic book shop this week, so go and check them out, please.
All right. Listen. Okay, we have to, you know what? We don't have a whole lot of musical interludes for you this week.
No, so we're catapulting forward.
Shecky Feldstein, do we have a sponsor for, first of all, you've changed things up on me. So we used to do the mailbag right after the new this week.
Hey, Chris, but I got a suggestion.
What?
Why don't we ask Shecky, the producer, what's up?
You always try and...
That's a great question.
You always try and decide what it is I've thought of.
Okay, so what's up next there, producer extraordinaire?
We're getting into the first segment of industry news.
Oh, okay.
Which I believe is typical, but anyway.
Wow. Which we have a sponsor for?
Always, Walter. Always. That's why we're getting paid the big bucks.
That's right.
Industry news brought to you by Marvel Studios, where our goal is to get half of your life's tension with any material necessary.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm.
Hey, they're almost succeeding in that.
Yeah.
You know?
They are absolutely everywhere nowadays.
Hey.
Between TV, Netflix, exclusive content online.
Yes,
special.
True.
It's nonsense.
But you know what? Thor came out last week on DVD. Thor The Dark World came out. I had to buy it.
Oh, yeah.
So rewatch the whole movie, and then of course you got to watch the extras afterwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now this sort of ties into what we're going to talk about, because Marvel has been doing these one shots, right? Sort of these little mini movies that they put on the DVDs as sort of an enticement to go ahead and buy the DVDs so you get to see these one-shots. Well, this one was with, what's his name? The guy that played... Geez,
the Mandarin?
It's the Mandarin, but I can't remember. Ben Kingsley. And it's sort of his life after him playing the Mandarin and what it was like in prison. So as the Mandarin,
what was it like in prison?
Well,
Chris?
You know what? I don't want to spoil it. So you're gonna have to go out and watch it yourself.
I believe many an incarcerated folk have spoiled what happens in prison. Hold on to that soap.
Yeah. No. Listen, yeah. Marvel is everywhere. I heard that Marvel is trying to work a licensing deal with the Stag Shop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how would that work?
Well, I don't know. They're trying to develop products. Like, I would imagine things like the Hulk would come into play.
Iron Man,
and maybe Bullseye. You
know? Kingpin.
Hey-o. Yeah. Thor's hammer would factor in somewhere.
Yes.
Listen.
Yeah.
But that's still speculative.
Would I be able to get a pair of web shooters there?
Yeah, probably.
By speculative, you mean you're still drafting up the proposal for Marvel?
I am. How'd you know? Hey, listen. Marvel is, though, they're making some sort of TV special.
Okay.
Bragging about how they're taking over our lives, basically.
Well, they really are.
Yeah, it's called Assembling a Universe.
Okay.
A look into the world of Marvel Studios. It's showing on... March 18th on ABC TV in the States, which we pick up here, I guess, right, in Canada?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And basically it's talking about, I guess the way I would describe this is they're kind of telling us, I would assume, in this thing that, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what we got planned. It's like an infomercial, probably.
Oh, yeah, for the most part.
It's almost like when you go to like E3 or like all like the technology like conferences or conventions where they actually tell you for the next year what you can expect, you know, from their product.
Right, and they're having like a TV special.
But it's like a big trailer, really. It's just talking about everything that's going to happen in
a
the Marvel Universe.
A bunch of teasers just to get you excited, salivating.
But who's done this before, though? Right, this is cool.
Yeah.
Because
they're paying to do this on national television, right?
Right.
You know, they're putting something very professional, hopefully.
I'm sure in some way or another, Lucas has done this with the Star Wars stuff. I'm sure there has been because there's been all kinds of specials about Star Wars programs, things like that.
Now, I don't know if there's ever been anything like this where this is what we have planned for the next 5 years.
Yeah, you're right. Because usually
it's almost more documentary type. Like this is how Star Wars happened.
Yeah, historical.
But this is this is like an infomercial. This is like, hey guys, this is what we have down the pipe.
Yeah.
This is what we have. Probably going to be, you know, I can see like, you know, a State of the Union address almost like every year.
They have a one-hour special. And maybe something that they do now. Yeah.
On what's coming in the Marvel Universe.
Now I got to ask you. So speaking of things that are coming in the Marvel Universe, have either of you had a chance to see the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy yet?
Yes,
I saw the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you think? Like, I mean, so
that was, I mean,
they went humor too much.
Again, I don't read books. You know, I don't want to sound like
you
that illiterate
read,
guy,
though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, somewhat. I got a third grade reading level.
Good
but,
for you.
So I understand that it is supposed to be a little campy humor. It's supposed to be a little jokey like that. And in that terms, a lot of people are saying that it very much so relates to what the Guardians of the Galaxy that they would expect would be.
Yeah.
You know what I thought of when I saw the trailer? I don't know why. I don't know why this came in, but you know what I thought of when I saw the trailer? Did I already ask that?
Yes.
I did. Okay.
Or say, yeah, go
just
ahead.
Tell us what you
remember
thought.
That one Men in Black, that movie called Men in Black?
Yeah.
Remember when they're going through the Men in Black kind of area where all the kind of where all
the
aliens
are
and they open that room and there's those drunken little aliens that kind of reminded me of that
it's that same feeling
you know it's stupidity
very
and
lightheartedly
yeah,
very,
like
yeah.
aliens have been here forever
yeah,
and they're like working
forever.
Joes they're
yeah.
like working Joes at the water
hey,
cooler,
don't bother me
you know?
Man I don't have time for this crap and all that kind of stuff
yeah.
you know? Hey where are the girls and all that kind of stuff
right? But I think you're right I think that's
but
that
you know
seems
what?
To be the same kind of feeling that you're gonna
I think
get
that me. I think that appealed to like the 13 to 18 age group though so I think that's what Guardians of the Galaxy will do as well
yeah
what I mean
yeah Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I hope it works for them. But
you know, only thing I didn't like. Now, did you see? Which do you saw the very first one, or do you see the one that was came out like 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Okay, so that, you saw the one with the music like that. Hooked on a feeling, that one. That's the only one that I didn't like that part. It was too.
What's wrong with that song? It's a great song.
I like the song, but it's
high on believing.
Yeah, right. But yeah. Why are these aliens from outer space all of a sudden listening to music from Earth?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I understand 70. That. Now, having said that, I know the one character is supposed to be half human, but does that mean he has an old style Walkman or something? Like, I don't know.
I get you.
I think the jury's out. I'm hoping that they're going to surprise us and have a really good movie. I think the special effects, like the characters look great. Like Rocket Raccoon looks great, and Drax the Destroyer looks great, and Groot and Gamora.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm excited about the concept of what's the movie called again?
Guardians of the Galaxy. Let me help you out with that.
Yeah. but what I like about this TV special, I kind of like the boundaries it's pushing, the new territory is entering into this thing, whereas, you know, we're so pervasive in pop culture now that we're going to have our own, hour on TV to now, explain ourselves.
Is that what you know, TV is becoming now? Is now we're almost, I mean, if this had happened maybe 10 or 15 years ago, would we have been as accepting of an hour long preview?
Yeah, you're right.
Would we now be able to?
We want it now. We want to see, because we're all. It's a preview culture. It's a trailer culture. Yeah. What can I learn?
And
culture.
Also, this is one of the few sort of times when any, let's just say, for lack of better terms, a film production company, which Marvel's essentially become, has actually, they can actually claim, look at these 10, 12 movies we have planned 7 years into the future.
But not just movies. I'm sure they're going to talk about how we're going to thread this through TV, through comics, through movies, through video games.
Right, and what other film company history has ever been able to say, hey, look, this is what we have slated for the next X years. So they have a lot to announce.
And how will Howard the Duck play a part in this?
I hope very well. And I'm not saying that because I got three long boxes of Howard the Duck sitting in the basement, right?
But if anyone asks, you do have three long boxes.
Yeah, I mean.
Who's your favorite villain from Howard the Duck? Dr. Bong?
Kiss.
Anyways.
It's from the Bong.
Very interesting concept that Marvel is doing here. Of course, we've got Captain America the Winter Soldier coming up April 4th. And then in August, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy. And then next year, we'll have The Avengers of Age of Ultron. So it's going to be cool. So if you do want to check that out, it's going to be Tuesday, March the 18th at 8 p.m.
Yeah, check it out. Let's move on. Let's talk about let's go around the horn and talk about, obviously, you mentioned a couple movies. But there's been talk of this guy, Patrick Wilson.
He played Night Owl.
In Watchmen.
Yeah.
He's trying to get into the Ant-Man movie.
Right.
And, of course,
it's
Ant-Man's
probably
already,
a tiny role.
Yeah, Ant-Man's already got Michael Douglas and Paul Rudd in it.
Yeah. Or Rudd.
Rudd?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just saying.
Rudd. So, and that's slated for release when? July 17th, 2015.
Yeah.
That's a day after my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Well,
for you. So that's very exciting in a sense that, first of all, there are still guys trying to muscle in to roll.
Yeah. But you know what's funny is that, so the Ant-Man movie is a movie that's been, it's been dogged with problems for years and years and years. And they've been trying to get this movie out for a long time. But now all of a sudden, Marvel movies are cool. They're popular.
Everybody wants to be.
And now everybody wants to be part of it, right?
So, hey, quickly, Gweeb geek moment here. Last week on the Comic Link auction.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do a quick 30-second history of Ant-Man.
All right.
In
Tales to Astonish.
Tales to Astonish, December 61. Tales to Astonish number 27. At that time, that was considered a sci-fi story.
Right.
It was a monster sci-fi story about a scientist named Hank Pym who takes some sort of stuff and he shrinks down and becomes Ant-Man.
Right.
A month before, Fantastic Four was released.
Okay.
And the poop didn't hit the fan really until a month or two later. You know, back in those days, yeah, it took months until you realized you had a hit.
Right. Well, yeah, because you wouldn't
fan mail fan and all that kind of stuff. And, right, yeah, there was a time lag.
Well, and also because books would be on the stands for months, and then the new books would come out. You'd
back. The Man on the Anthill, whatever the story was called, the story of Hank Pym and Ant-Man, was written probably already when Fantastic Four 1 was written.
Right.
Well, it turns out the Fantastic Four was a big hit. You know, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and Ditko and all those boys sitting at Marvel going, whoa, you know, let's do more hero stuff. Let's see what we got. And they came up with the Hulk in May and of 62.
Right.
So they were quickly starting to react. Well, one of the places they revisited was the Ant-Man.
Right.
And in Tales to Astonish number 35, that's 8 issues later, that's July of 62.
Right.
They reintroduced the Ant-Man as a costumed hero.
Oh, okay, right,
so
right,
the
right.
debate in the collecting community and the value of the comic now is raging on whether, what's the first true Ant-Man?
Oh,
is
I
it,
see.
You know, the Hank Pym scientist story of 27?
Right.
Or is it the superhero Marvel way of 35?
So the first one, it wasn't Hank Pym in the traditional Ant-Man costume.
He was
just
a guy in a suit.
Just
in his
regular
clothes,
suit. Yeah,
regular
yeah, yeah,
clothes.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they kind of, so it was one of many sci-fi monster stories that Marvel Atlas was doing at the time. So,
now, okay, so
it's a cool thing because everybody goes, you know, Tales to Astonish number 27 is the first Ant-Man, but really, some guys are saying, you know, Tales to Astonish number 35 is the first Ant-Man as we understand it.
So what do you think?
I don't know. I'm the jury's out. Jury's out. There was a copy of Tales to Astonish number 35 in the grade of a 9.6 out of 10, which is really nice.
Yeah.
It sold for like $66,000.
Oh my goodness.
Insane.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, okay, so here's my next question for you, and I already know the answer, but our listening audience doesn't. So, now, first appearance of the Avengers has Ant-Man in it.
Yes, it does.
Now, is that one of the first appearances after the Tales to Astonish, or was Ant-Man a recurring character in other comics as well?
You know what? I don't know when Ant-Man's... Those things are called crossovers.
Okay.
Where Ant-Man... he became a character in Tales to Astonish after number 35. He became a cover character, so a central character in Tales to Astonish for number 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. Now, you got to remember, that's July 62. Avengers didn't hit press until September 63.
Right.
So you're talking about 14 issues of Ant-Man in Tales to Astonish before he becomes a member of the Avengers. Now, what I don't know is whether he made a crossover outside the title into, say, Fantastic Four or something like that.
Right.
He may have. I'm going to say he did at least once or twice.
Yeah, I don't know if it was before the Avengers, though.
If he did, he maybe only did it once.
Yeah, Interesting.
Anyway, so that's a cool comic collecting debate about the Ant-Man.
Yes. So now, funny thing is, so this Ant-Man character has been around since before Fantastic Four.
Right at the same time.
Right around the same time. And now finally he's getting his own movie coming out in 2015 with Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas. And this new guy, Patrick Wilson.
All right.
Now, along the same lines of movies coming out, it's interesting to note that Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who played the cop / Robin in the last Batman movie.
I saw that movie. It was a good movie.
So he is developing the Sandman movie now, the Neil Gaiman Sandman movie.
Yeah.
And he's doing that with David Goyer as a writer. And David Goyer's been around for a long time. He's worked on a lot of other DC-type movies as well. So this is something that now all of a sudden... David Goyer, he's also worked on Man of Steel and Blade. Remember the Blade trilogies with
I didn't like Blade.
Yeah, I liked the first one. I didn't think it was great. But he's also worked on Batman. So now they're working on a Sandman movie, which I think is awesome because it's completely not your typical comic book movie, right?
Yeah, Sandman's pretty messed up.
It's really out there, right?
Yeah.
It's all about, it's a very mystical type thing,
yes.
right? With dreams and nightmares and fantasies and all these kind
Death
of weird things.
Death and the devil.
There was one whole series where it was called, it was all about basically how Sandman gets the key to hell, and
yes.
he kicks Lucifer, decides he no longer wants to run hell anymore, and he gives Sandman the key, and so now all of a sudden he has to run hell. And so there's lots of different stories going on with that. But
hey, Sandman, I quit. I've had it.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, here's the key.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Yeah. He's done with that. But anyway, so interesting story. I don't know how they're going to do it, because it's really high concept stuff.
Yeah, well, it's going to be cool. And you know what I like? There's bravery out there in the money world to try to tackle projects like this. And what else we got in the movie thing? Hey, you're a gamer.
Kind of, yeah.
So I'm reading this thing about this Minecraft pixel head thing.
Yeah.
They're actually making a movie on
Minecraft. Yeah, you know what? Minecraft is something that it's really... I'm too old for that.
You know Minecraft at all?
I'm the right age. I had friends who really liked it. Mm-hmm. I was never a computer, like a CPU sort of guy. I was always a console guy.
Yeah.
So when my friends said that they spent 12 hours of every waking day playing games like this, or Warcraft or Starcraft, like, I never understood it, and so I detached from that entirely. But I know it was a massive success.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't quite get the game. I see it. I understand it. It's kind of a building type game, but you know what?
You know what? We've discussed this before, and what it seems like in the world of the filthy rich, money Hollywood type of thing, where they're just kind of just trolling be a good word?
Yeah.
Just looking for any kind of property that they can just. Whoa, this was popular between 1997 February and 1998
but
March.
But here's the thing. So Minecraft, according to my sources here, sold almost 50 million copies through both console and PC gaming.
Wow.
So somebody's buying it, right? Like, there's a lot of money being put towards this Minecraft thing. So, and I think that maybe now, as Shecky says, so if there are people that were from his age that were playing it, now they're of the right age, they're going to go to the theaters and they're going to go check it out.
Let me ask you a question. This is kind of a large scope. I don't know how to say what I'm trying to
say.
Okay,
go ahead.
You know, I'll just get to it. And you guys deal with it, all right?
All right.
Okay, so in the last, I would say, decade, we've been dealing with a wealth, a boon, a vindication of comic books,
right?
As a source of material for movies.
Okay.
Because the comic books we're dealing with are from the 60s to the 80s or 90s with Deadpool and everything like that. So you're talking about a 30-year period. You're talking about people that are in their 20s to 50s. You're talking about everybody aiming for that demographic, especially for characters like Spider-Man and Batman that have, you know, went from father to son and daughter, son and daughter.
Yep, yep.
They're mining all those things. Is video games the next big source of comic book, of movies? What I'm trying to say
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know what? I think it's hand in hand with comic books. Because a lot of video games have been adapted already. You know, like the whole Resident Evil franchise.
Will that accelerate? Is my point.
I think both will accelerate, because I think that producers and production companies realize that there are such great sources in both video games and comic books that they'll continue to be doing both lots.
I think you're right. I think that the bottom line is that movie studios are basically looking at any kind of property around these days that can possibly make them money. So whether they have to go to Space Invaders or like they had a Battleship, movie,
the problem,
right?
I think, we know this. I mean, the problem is the costs are prohibitive.
Yeah.
So they need to know that there's a fan base already that exists.
Yeah, but at the same rate, you know, let's just say for, you know, argument's sake, they're paying 10% out, you know, 10 cents on every dollar coming in for movie tickets for a licensed property. But really, if they can guarantee an already, you know, substantial amount of people who are probably just going to walk into that movie theater anyway, if they make a movie about Battleship, just because, well, what could this possibly be about? And I see CGI.
Oh, man, I played this, man, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So,
here's the thing.
You know, it doesn't always guarantee it. Doom, the video game Doom, was very popular for a long time. Came out with a movie that just flopped, right?
Doom.
Yeah, and it had Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. He starred in it. So the movie came out, and it came and left, and nobody gave two craps about it, right?
Right.
So even though it was hugely popular, I mean, three franchises from the video game existed, so a lot of people playing it, a lot of people owning it and downloading it, but yet it doesn't necessarily make it a good movie.
You're right. It's not a sure thing, but it's playing the odds.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
For the better part of it, it might not be a great movie, but you'll probably still at least make your money back.
Now, let me ask you another question. Yes, Chris, I like when you do that. Listen, let me ask you another question. Video games.
Yeah.
I don't know video games as much.
Okay.
Now, I know comics. And I know that, for example, we've discussed this before. Scooby-Doo was popular with me, and Scooby-Doo is popular with my son.
Right.
Flintstones was popular with me, but Flintstones is not popular with my son.
Right.
Are there video game properties that actually are developing and jumping and expanding into the next generation? Because from my limited intellect in terms of video games, I know that Pac-Man and Space Invaders aren't viable video game properties right now.
Right.
So my assumption is no. Has there been a video game property that your dad played and that you are playing?
100%. Yes. Like, mostly, though, just because of how it is, Nintendo games. So Super Mario, Legend of Zelda, Donkey Kong games. Yeah. Because they're geared towards...
So they're still developing those for the generation?
One of the last new ones for the Wii U, which is the newest Nintendo system, was like a Super Mario U or whatever it is. Because, you know what? They stick to the basics. Aim for a younger age audience, so they're not going to scrutinize games. They're just looking for something entertaining. As long as you curve it to make it entertaining for a younger audience, as long you keep up with the technology, it's still you're going around gathering stars and coins and stuff. You know what? It's maybe not a range for all ages, but that same age, like that young age, will always keep with it. It's kind of like Barbie, Where young girls, they don't know any better.
Right, but for every Barbie, there's like brats that come and go.
Right.
Barbie always stays. Right. So for every Donkey Kong, there are probably games that
I think they just stick to what they know.
Some of them stay and some of them go. Like we haven't really seen a lot. I mean, there has been some things, but a whole lot from, say, on the Sega side. So remember Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's not as popular as, say, the Super Mario World and all that kind of stuff.
So, that term we use, the generational jump, may not happen on all video game properties.
Might not help. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Just like on comic book.
That's
properties.
Right. Yeah. Right. But, there are some. Like, there, for example, when I was a kid, we used to play Prince of Persia on the Commodore 64.
Right.
And then that became a big game for the PlayStation and Xbox. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it became a movie. But, I mean, there was like a 15, 20-year gap between those two, between the first one and the second one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of, hey, somebody comes along and says, hey, I remember that old game. I'm going to make a new version of it and update it and, start to play it again.
It's funny. Just a quick aside. I think I just did an aside, but another one.
Yeah. Keep on going.
Yeah, I was with somebody on the weekend. We were talking. I was at a function, and we were talking about. He was into sports cards.
Okay, yeah.
And he had a lifetime of collecting sports cards and everything like that. And we got into a bit of a friendly argument about properties, about sports cards and how they're limiting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And my argument was, listen, sports cards, they cannot continue. They cannot generationally jump because the athlete is limited in his age and his productive.
Yeah, yeah.
The best of the best will have 10, 12 good productive years. And there are maybe two or three that are iconic.
Yeah.
Like your Bob Orrs, your Gretzky's, your
Howe. Yeah.
So that's it. It ends, right? You got a guy like Dino Cicerelli who scored 600 goals or whatever. Kid, now who's he?
Yeah,
right?
And yeah, for sure.
Whereas Spider-Man is still young.
Yeah.
And he's going to be young 30 years from now.
But even a hockey player like, say, Howie Morenz, right?
Yeah.
Kids may not know who that guy is, right?
Exactly.
Even though he's a, top player at the time.
Yes.
Yes, for sure. I completely agree with you. And I think the interesting thing about that is going to be is that there's still going to be some, like you say, as far as sports cards go, Gretzky, Howe, Orr, right? There's going to be a few that are always going to be really...
Babe Ruth,
right?
Mickey Mantle,
exactly.
Yeah.
But in comics, because characters are limitless,
it's fictional, right?
Yeah. It's a little bit different. But we did see that even with the collectability, because for a long time, people were buying Golden Age up, and then all of a sudden they started buying Silver Age up, and now Silver Age is kind of outpriced everything.
Yeah.
So now people are kind of going back to the Golden Age because it's cheaper and they still want to buy older comics, right?
Right.
So I wonder if the same thing would happen to collectible cards where, hey, you know what? I might not be able to afford the cards from the 70s.
Yeah, you know what? It's still different because, you know, how can I say it? The Batman, the Golden Age Batman are becoming relatively cheaper versus the Silver Age Batman.
Right.
But it's still the same character. Right.
Right.
So they're not just going to arbitrarily go into the Golden Age and buy, I don't know what, Shazam.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Interesting.
Anyway, it was a friendly argument we had. And just
okay. I'm sure we're boring some of our audience members anyways.
All right. Let's move this, is it a boat or a ship? What are we moving?
Let's move to Shishiki. What do we got going on here?
I don't know.
Well, is there a sponsor for our next segment, or are we doing fan mail ever? Like, or is it just kind of washed off?
I think what we're gonna do is we're gonna recap a couple personal experiences here. You know, like for instance, so to jump right into it, Walter and I, last weekend you were not with us, Chris.
No, I was not.
We actually saw a nice documentary that actually chronicled a lot of Canadian history.
Oh. So, yes. Is that something about Vimy Ridge or something like that?
No.
Not so much. But on Vimy, the same era, line, though.
I got a headache off that stuff.
Wine.
Well,
yeah.
Boy, am I.
I need to get myself a good bottle of Vimy Ridge.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, winos. I was speaking more specifically on the Lost Heroes documentary that went down in Toronto.
Oh, that old thing.
Yes. Young Schexter and I went to the Lost Heroes documentary.
Yes, I would have gone, but I wasn't in the country.
Of course.
Yeah.
And we would have invited you, I promise.
I'm sure.
Yeah, we went. It was at the Royal Theatre in Toronto, and of course, it chronicled basically a history of Canadian comics. It started with the Golden Age, that whites, as they're called, era where American comics were banned and Canadian production started, and then it jumped up into the 70s with Captain Canuck and with our good friend Jim Whaley's Orb and all that stuff. And then it went on with Northgard, and then just basically it's kind of was saying that, man, it's like, you know, Canadians try to make a Canadian identity comic, but they always fail.
That seemed
to be the theme of the documentary.
Yep, I totally agree. It's that, you know, as Canadians we struggle to try and parody or create a likeness similar to what the Americans have going for comic books.
Well, you know, the mythology that America creates for itself, and when I say mythology, I mean, I'm talking about the patriotism and all that kind of stuff, the way they, and it's not really a myth, but the way they portray themselves and everything is much stronger than the Canadian version of it, right? Like, the Canadians sort of have always had this sort of, second rung attitude, and we're great at everything, but hey, if we don't get everything, that's fine too. You know, we don't really care. We're just sort of our own people. Whereas Americans have this very, very strong portrayal of their own characters and everything.
And
of their own country.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm getting like things come to mind when I talk about this.
Right.
And one is analogies, comparisons. I had a cousin of mine from Belgrade send me a couple of links to these Serbian rappers.
Okay.
No, rap.
Music?
Yo, rap.
There are Serbian rappers?
There's rappers all over the world.
Well, okay, sure.
So, and these guys are like, you know, tough Belgrade guys, and, you know, it's all that kind of gangster culture.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, this is kind of odd, right? But and the same thing with like, but my point is, rap is kind of like an American urban art form,
right?
You know, per se, an African American urban art form. I don't want to watch somebody else try to mimic that.
Right, right.
And my
right.
question was, with when I was watching this documentary, was, are comic books, superhero type comic books, an American thing?
I think so.
That we as Canadians or the Brits or the Australians or the Germans or whatever try to mimic, and it just doesn't come across as authentic and genuine because it's not our art form. I don't know. I hope not.
That makes sense.
I hope not.
Everyone does their own take, but it's not necessarily the same thing.
It's their baby. It's their. It's what they created, and it's part of their culture. We loved it so much that we're trying to now adapt it into our culture, but maybe there's some part of our culture that doesn't fit into
well,
it.
Well, I remember... I don't know.
I just came to you.
Right.
I don't know if I'm on the right tangent or not.
You're right. I don't remember exactly where I saw it, but Harlan Ellison, who was a writer for Star Trek, and he was a science fiction writer.
He wrote a couple of Avengers stories.
Yeah, and I think he wrote, he was the one that James Cameron kind of borrowed, quote-unquote, the idea for Terminator from. I can't remember where I saw it, but I remember him talking about there are five uniquely American inventions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or creations, maybe inventions. And, like, among those was the banjo, jazz music, and
blues,
and but comic books was one of them. And he said, remember he was talking about comic books, and maybe that's why we kind of, when we think of, you know, superhero comics, the way we think of it, it's hard for us to position ourselves as a Canadian into something that's uniquely American, right?
Well, either way, you know, it was pretty good. It chronicled a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was informative, you know, and so you got to see the history that maybe you didn't know beforehand. I know I didn't know as much as what it told.
Yeah.
And the other sense I got is we're trying to, it seems to be where we don't realize how small a country we are.
Well,
I think part of our failures is our expectations. So, you know what, you are catering a comic book to Canadians with a Canadian hero. Get 100,000 circulation out of your head.
Yeah.
Get it out of your head. Don't make your business model the fact that your break even point is 70,000 issues a month.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're doomed to fail. And I think that's the problem. I think we could have longevity.
Yeah.
If we had, with characters.
Yeah.
If we had expectations, okay, I'm going to build a business model around getting a fan base around Canada.
Yes.
And it may be 9,200 comics that sell every month that is the break-even point.
Yeah.
And then build on this. If I'm at 10,100,
right.
Well, hey, I'm making progress every month. I'm continuing every month. I'm not expecting to get rich because I am catering this comic book to Canadians in Canada because this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
If I am building a fan base in the U.S., it's going to be slowly over time. I'm not going to bail because Marvel hasn't picked me up.
Right,
And I think that has been kind of a part of the problem with Canadian comics.
Absolutely.
The whole time.
Absolutely. And right. I don't want to go on for this too long.
Oh, sorry.
But no, I'm just saying that. So just looking up statistics here, in 2012, the current population of Canada was 34.88 million.
Mm-hmm.
The population of California was 38 million.
Right.
Right. So
one state.
We're trying to create an identity that we think is going to be just as good as the United States when we don't have the kind of population that can support it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And trying to create comics that, you know, all of a sudden we think that we're going to be the next Superman.
Right.
But we don't have the kind of population to support that. So right. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Hey, so, you know, in the same note, let's break things up on a little bit of a light note here. Chris, you couldn't make it to Lost Heroes. Where were you?
I was away in another country. I was off on vacation.
Okay, good. You weren't locked up abroad.
No, I was on vacation. Yeah.
That's what I was saying. So, I was thinking, you know, we're coming back for your return here this week and everything.
Yes.
I thought, you know what? I'm going to take it to the polls. I'm going to take it to the streets.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, as I usually do, the top five.
Taking it to the streets.
So we have music after all.
Yeah.
So I decided to try and find out what superheroes and or villains, you know, people in the superhero community, you know what, if they were to go on vacation somewhere and then say their plane went down and the old shipwrecked on a, you know, an abandoned deserted island.
Yeah.
Right? What one thing would they want to have?
Hmm.
You know, it's interesting.
It's a
right?
very, very good question.
What would you have had if you went down?
What one thing?
Yeah.
Probably my laptop.
All right. Well.
Without electricity?
Or internet?
Yeah, well, that's true. Okay, so...
all right, you know what? You're done.
Sunglasses.
Sunglasses.
Okay.
A hat for my bald head.
All right. Well, these are the five answers I got.
Okay.
So, from Spider-Man, his homework, because the I was stuck on a deserted island is the most used excuse in the book.
No,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
that wouldn't have cut it.
Yeah. Second most, next to the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Riddler, a book of Mad Libs.
No,
I guess
you
I keep
read those
Mad
Libs, you can just put anyway, yeah.
Yeah, like you pick a noun, it says, hey, insert a noun.
Yeah.
Insert a verb.
Yeah.
Right over silly, my head on silly that answer,
one.
You know.
Yeah.
All right, well, never mind. Three. Iron
they're not
Man.
All, they're not all gems, Checky. They're not all gems.
Well, this is their answers. I can't
welcome
tell them
to my world there, buddy.
Yeah. All right. Iron Man. Iron Man.
Iron Man.
He wants an iron.
As much scotch as he can carry.
Oh, that's
good
true.
Boy.
Yeah. I guess when the plane's going down, it's you run into the baggage and you're just grabbing
a
suitcase.
And he's like he's like a Highland Park 25 boy. I think,
yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Or higher if it
or
goes
higher.
Yeah.
Number four, Professor X, off-roading tires.
See, I would have said sunscreen for his bald head.
Well,
yeah.
I think he
or
needs
cap.
Tires
or,
to...
or cap. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. One of those old fishermen. One of those fisherman type hats, you know, one of those like
Gilligan hats.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't
right. yeah,
skipper.
Yeah. Skipper.
Well, you know, there's lots of off-roading. You know, you're a deserted
that's
island.
Very
there's
true.
No roads.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah you're
very
right.
True. All
right. Right.
And you know, Batman, Alfred, because even if Bruce Wayne is stranded with nothing, he still demands to be waited on hand and foot.
That's
yeah.
true.
Let's
very
be
true.
Honest.
He likes to have his underwear irons.
Yeah. Spoiled brat.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Anyway.
Alfred, there's guano in my ginch.
Do something, would you?
Wasn't that a song by the Bee Gees back in the day?
Guano
there's
in my ginch.
Guano in
there's
my
guano
ginch.
In my ginch. Guano in my ginch. Yeah.
All right.
That
listen.
Was a classic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hey, I hear there's a great bit, by the way, Marty.
That was good. That was cool.
I mean, Shecky. I did some investigating, and I thought it was pretty
good.
Yeah.
I like that. That was good. Listen, I heard, well, I gotta commend you here. I hear that the CBC actually did a little bit on your comic book store. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, you know what? Peter Mansbridge didn't
I was
going
to say, no. He was not here.
He didn't come. we had the CBC come to the Hamilton Big B Comic.
That's very impressive.
And they did a story.
Now, hold on,
our...
wait. Was this like an investigative reporting kind of story because of the shady dealings in the comic book industry?
Me sweating on camera.
Yeah.
Humming a chain smoking. Yeah. Remember that? What's that? SCTV where they did the 60 Minute spoof on Martin Short?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah. So we do our comics for grades thing.
Right.
For this time of year. And the CBC thought that was cool.
Oh, very cool.
And, Our young and lovely Nicole.
Yeah.
The funny story there is Mark calls me and goes, well, I'm busy, man. CBC's coming to the store. Like, you got to come in. Nicole's not here. Oh, Mark, come on, man. I haven't showered yet, man. Come on. Because I was pricing up books for this con right at home. And why do you need to shower when you're pricing up con?
Very true. Very
right.
true, yeah.
So I'm going, oh, man, okay. I got to go. I got to get it. So I run to it. And then Nicole got here.
Oh, time. Cool.
And it turned out it wasn't cameras. It was the cbc.ca.
Oh, right? okay.
So it was an interview, and she took pictures.
Oh, nice.
So she took, like, 17 pictures.
Right.
You know, probably 7 of me and 10 of Nicole.
Okay.
She interviewed me. She interviewed Nicole. She took pictures of me. She took pictures of Nicole. The next day, everything goes up. There's nothing. Zero of me. Beautiful picture of Nicole up there. It's like I never existed. So, man.
Well, you know.
Photogenic, I'm not.
You're right? not nearly as pretty as Nicole.
No,
was.
Thank
yeah.
the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was very nice. Comics for grades, by the way.
Yeah, so hold on. So just for our listening audience that maybe isn't aware of that, how does that work?
Kid, they get the report cards now from grade 1 to grade 12, or kindergarten grade 12.
Okay.
They get the report cards for midterms.
Right.
So if they get an A in any subject.
Yep.
So if they get like a math A and a history A and an English A and a geography A.
Right.
That's four A's. They bring their report card up to the shop.
Okay.
And we give them four free comic books.
Oh, cool. So, yeah. So they can just go to the brand new release stand or the graphic novel stand?
They go to the comic books that are in the bargain basement.
Okay.
There's about 20,000 of them down there.
So
they're all $1.99 every day.
Cool, but they get free ones.
They're free.
Awesome.
During that time.
So just so if our listening audience wants to come by, I just want them to think that they're getting a brand new off the rack comic.
Or how about like that Spidey number one?
On yeah, the right. Yeah. Like,
hey,
I'll
take that one.
Yeah.
No, but it's a very popular program. The parents love it. You know, and I ham it up when I'm here. Like I'm really bad. Like I get eye rolls and stuff.
I bet.
You know, kid comes in and goes, "Hey, buddy, you're gonna put me out of business with all those days," you know.
And then he says,
And then the mother just kind of like laughs.
Yeah.
Oh, you.
Right.
Awesome.
Anyway, great program. It's very popular in town. So we thank CBC for covering us.
Nice. Hey, now listen, you said that you were off busy pricing comics.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was this for a show coming up?
Yeah. Hey, guys, this is a great place to... is it report this?
Report, sure.
I know that we're look, Chris, where are we picking up? First of all, we champion the local comic.
We do. We're also broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio.
Hamilton's award-winning radio station.
Because of us. Yeah.
We're on Get the Point.
Or apparently. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And I think we're on Sirius Satellite now.
Will we ever know where we actually are?
No. This way we can imagine.
Yeah, okay.
Way better that way.
We're on iTunes.
We're I think BBC.
There's got to be at least 5 or 6 people that listen to us.
Easy.
Yeah.
We're going to the Toronto Comic Con this weekend.
Right.
We would love listeners of the show to pop into the Toronto Comic Con.
Say hi.
Stop by the Big B booth. And say hi to Shecky, me, and are you coming at all?
I'm going to try to be there. Okay. I don't know what day yet, though.
Say hi to me and Shecky.
Yeah, Owen will be like, "Where's Waldo of the Comic-Con circuit?"
Right?
This is the first show of the year, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah,
right?
This really kicks it off.
Yeah, and, kicks it off.
And this is the smaller fan expo of the two in Toronto, right? Yeah.
This is a good show. This is a show that the listeners should go to. This is, I mean, you and I, Chris, have always preached that, you know, if you're not a Comic-Con guy, go to one a year.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you don't like massive, stupid-ass crowds, don't go to Fan Expo.
No.
Go to this one.
Go to this one, yeah. For sure.
It still has celebrities. It still has everything that you're going there to see. Like, I would say the kid, Carl from Walking Dead, is going to be there, you know, which is
the kid.
Hyped. It's new. It's running. You know, so, like, the kid.
Yeah.
Well, I believe Seika will be there, too. No, I think that's the Motor City Con.
That's the Motor City Con.
Sorry, I got it mixed up. I knew I had her on my calendar at one point, but I just forgot where.
But you know what? Okay, but in all seriousness, so if you do want to go to the show, it's March 7th to the 9th.
Yeah.
And it's if you want to go on Friday, it's 4 to 9 on Friday. Saturday, 10 to 6. Sunday, 10 to 5. And the guests that are going to be there, Eliza Dushku is going to be there. Brandon Routh, who played Superman, is going to be there. Then who else we got here? We got...
Jimbo Elrod.
Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings is going to be there.
Sean Astin.
Comic guests include David Finch, Dale Keown, Ken Lashley, Kevin Maguire, Francis Manapul, Leonard Kirk, Tony Moore of Walking Dead fame.
Sorry to cut you off. Well, remember when we met Sean Astin in Montreal?
Yeah, at the hotel. Yeah. He was jogging. I didn't know who he was.
We were in our hotel. Well, you wouldn't know who he was anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, come on. But we were in a hotel lobby. Okay, quick story.
Yeah.
And we're going out for dinner. Right? Lou Ferrigno comes out of like the hotel restaurant and starts chumming up with us. Right?
Yeah.
It's Lou.
Hey,
it's
Lou, let's go out. Oh, I can't, guys. I gotta get my sleep.
So he goes upstairs. Oh, well, you know, what a poor sport there. And you know what? In comes a jogging Sean Astin in these shorts, and he's got like a number pasted on his back. He's got a head flashlight.
He looked like Richard Simmons.
Yeah, a
little bit. Hi, guys!
Except he had a flashlight stuck to his head. Saying he was running around in the dark. Chasing a bunch of people through the forest.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know what the point of that was, but anyway, that's how we met Sean Astin.
That's our moment of fame.
Great,
Sean Astin.
Great story.
It was. Hey, and so yeah, come, please come. Hey, you know what? It's never too early to talk about the Niagara Falls Comic Con. And I have to hand it to our boys, James and Chris. They lined up Bill Shatner.
Well, get out of town.
For Niagara Comic Con.
Really?
Yeah. That's going to be very
exciting. Our man, Bill.
Our man, Bill.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, so Toronto Comic Con this weekend, we expect to see you,
now,
the loyal listener, at the Bigby booth.
As you've said, if you want to go to a comic show in Toronto and don't want to wait in horrendous lines and do all those kind of crazy things for the big fan expo in August, this is a great show to attend because there's still lots of vendors, lots of guests, get the Toronto Comic Con vibe.
Yeah.
And
listen, if I while I'm on air here, I might as well throw in a plug. I have half off bins at the show.
Okay.
Lots of haggling.
Anyways, listen, we've only got a couple minutes left here.
Yeah, let's talk. You know what we should talk about that we're going to talk about next week?
Oh,
we're
going
to get the list.
Okay.
It's not too early, Chris. It's never too early.
Well,
my wife will say sometimes it's too early.
Yeah,
but,
that is true. My birthday is in November. It's too early to talk about that.
It's never too early.
All right.
Free comic book day.
That's like in May.
Yeah. What's today? March?
March, April. Yeah, I guess it's only 2 months away.
Yeah, 2 months away.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so we should next week visit Free Comic Book
Day.
Okay, so if
it's not too early to talk about Free Comic Book Day, what are you guys doing for your store for Free Comic Book Day? Anything special?
Too early for that.
Chris, why are you rushing?
That's what I figured.
We got big plans.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Thought just came to mind there. You know, we were talking about the Marvel movies and how they're owning, you know, whatever in terms of media. And it was, there's Guardians of the Galaxy at the end of the summer and then Captain America early April.
Yeah.
Isn't the second Spider-Man coming out that same Saturday in May?
Yes,
that
I believe it is.
Like May Saturday? Because that's traditionally when Spider-Man has owned the box office.
We don't,
right?
You know what's funny is that we've sort of been skipping the Amazing Spider-Man movie because it's not part of the true Marvel canon.
No, but it's one of the Marvel superhero
films. It is, Sony
you know,
owns it,
but
so.
It's still like a superhero franchise that you know, you hope to see if you're a Marvel fan. So.
Yes,
anyway,
although I'm not too hot on the way that...
you are not too hot.
No.
No, on the way that they've designed the Rhino.
Right, okay, yeah.
But that's all I wanted to say. Listen.
Well, you know, you get some free comic books at your local comic book store on the Saturday, and then you go check out Spidey.
Okay, listen, we've only got 3 minutes left here. Do we have time for anything else, or are we just going to sign it off for the day?
Well, how many minutes do we have left?
Now it's like three minutes.
Nah, I think we should end it on, what should we talk about?
Okay, Here, I just want to very quickly talk about, what's this about John Byrne doing some stupid new Star Trek comic?
Oh, well, you know,
stupid,
those are those dumb picture-ass things.
So apparently he did a fumetti, which is like, it's like a picture where he kind of puts in the words.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
I hate those
things. That thing should have died out with the rest of the
sentence. Yeah, I hate those things. Yeah. They're dumb.
Yeah.
And I hate them.
I think
they're
called photo novels.
Yeah.
Photo novel, fumetti, photo novel, whatever you want to call it. Apparently it had a big surprise success in 2013. No surprise that it was a surprise, because I would not have guessed that. Apparently he's doing another one, which I'm surprised about, but
I don't like is it takes away work from a comic book artist.
Well, and he is a comic book artist and a good one, so why not just draw
the
thing?
He's also a writer, right?
But draw the thing, get it over with.
Yeah,
right.
Come on, John.
But, you know, for those of you who are Star Trek fans out there, go ahead and pre-order.
All right, Chris, listen, before we end it, what do we have to remind the people? We have to remind them that they have to come to Toronto Comic Con.
Yes.
They have to go out to the local comic book shop and support the local comic book shop and buy comics off their local
And they have to watch the Marvel trailer thingy on the 18th.
On the 18th.
At 8 o'clock
and
on
they
AMC.
Have to send a sealed envelope with a check.
to comic culture
to keep us on we're gonna do a pledge show soon.
Kickstarter.
Hey, you know what, the boys are out of scotch. Kickstarter.
all right listen, unfortunately that is all the time that we have for today.
All right, listen, comic culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein, aka Marty Bethelmer. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookjelly.com. scroll down on the podcast link and add your comments, please.
And remember, 2014 will bring you many comic books and great tidings of good joy.
Yes, and most importantly, please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.